Welcome to Wisdom Talk Radio, a collaborative community of explorers in conscious living.
A fundamental truth about life is that everything always changes. And as you try and count on something remaining constant, you know, whether that's a relationship, a job, your situation in life, whatever it is, the realization usually comes in and sometimes it, you know, kind of smacks you in the face that nothing is indeed certain and everything changes all the time. So change maybe is the only thing that we can count on as to happen. So how do we navigate this? It's something that is so important to be able to move through life in a way where you're not feeling attacked by change or thrown by it. Well, martial arts might not be your first thought about how to do that. And yet my guest today is a master who has lived his life in pursuit of peace and purpose and truth, what I think of as truth, and resilience in the face of uncertainty. Wait until you hear his bio, because you will know that we are fortunate indeed to have him with us. So stay here, stay right here with us. Welcome. I'm Laurie Seymour, host of Wisdom Talk Radio and CEO and founder of the Baca Institute, home of the quantum connection process. Discover your unique connection with the essence of who you are by taking the quantum connection quiz. We are each designed to connect directly with source. We don't have to go through an intermediary, but we are each designed to have that connection in a different way. And knowing your own style, both your, not sure if I like the word superpower, but you know, the things that are really inherent to you and your strengths and what your learning edge is, that opens a deeper connection with the universe and with your relationship. And it really is the secret to creating more of what you truly want in your life. So my guest today is Stephen K. Hayes. He is a revered figure in martial arts. He has gained recognition in the Black Belt Hall of Fame for pioneering Japanese ninja martial arts. Promoting the benefits of life mastery through martial arts, he travels the world as teacher, seminar leader, and lecturer. And we're going to hear some more about some new things coming up. Inspiring others by translating his extensive background in martial arts and meditation into practical lessons for handling the pressures and uncertainties of life. Notably, and this is really interesting, and I know we'll hear about this too, he safeguarded and advised the Dalai Lama during his North American visits. So welcome, Stephen Hayes. I am really pleased. We've had a few minutes to chat before starting this and talking about Japan, and then I'm noticing our colors, and we both got the memo.
Yeah, great to be here, Laurie. I really appreciate it.
So where shall we begin? I'm thinking about at least to have you say a little about the ninja style of martial arts and what that means, what that is, and why you? Like, why did that draw you?
Well, you know, when I was a small child, growing up in Wilmington, Delaware in the 1950s, I saw martial arts on some TV shows, but there were no teachers, you know, around in those days. And in those days, it wasn't a kid thing at all, but I was just electrified. And I'd seen kids at school get picked on and bullied. I was never really bullied, but I saw other kids and I didn't like that. That shouldn't happen, but I didn't know what to do about it. I wasn't a fighter. I had no idea. But in my mind, in my young brain, you know, was this obsession with martial arts. And I had to wait till I was like 10 years. And I started college and I started martial arts training. And I read a book about these legendary Japanese, some people call them heroes, others call them villains, the ninja of Japan. And it was just too much. Even back in the day, no internet, no email, no nothing. I just got on an airplane and went to Japan to find these guys.
Wow.
Yeah. And fortunately, was accepted into the school and stayed there for several years. And since then, like 1980, my visa ran out. And so I came back to America, but my wife, who's Japanese, she's from Kumamoto, way down in the south. Mm-hmm. And she trains too. She's been practicing for 40 some years. So we go back to Japan every year for like a month, month and a half. And I have found, to be a real wonderful, I think, unique approach. I've never run into anybody who talks like me in the martial arts. And, on one hand, there's the physical security. And I find, a lot of men and men, maybe women too nowadays, but, this little deep seated sense of fear. Mm-hmm. And when that's triggered with confrontation or conflict, and we don't know what to do with it, mm-hmm. It's like giving a child a shotgun for self-defense. Mm-hmm. It's all or nothing. And it scares people. And so we address physically how to handle dangerous situations. It's a very subtle method. Like karate is a power method. Somebody throws a punch, we knock the punch out of the way and we hit them even harder than they were going to hit us. And the ninja martial art is very different. The power comes at us. We just move our feet. And now the power can be as powerful as it wants, but there's nothing there.
It's dead air.
Yes, exactly. And then we can access the center line. So real non-elaborate, non-complex, direct, here's how you handle physical danger. And on the other hand, from my years of traveling with the Dalai Lama, I was so blessed. Oh, God, so blessed. I was there providing security escort for him, but I got to take in so many behind the scenes lessons. And so I took a lot of that, I think Buddhism really is, it makes a poor religion, it's really a method of studying, like yoga. It's a method where you can practice these things. And if you get your results, then, now you're ready for this lesson. And so I put a lot of those things to do with inner development and ethics code and how to be a hero and how to take on dangerous things. There are formulas in this Tibetan and Japanese esoteric Buddhism. And by combining those two, we have our current program that I've been offering the world.
And if I were to ask you, and so I will ask you, what is the essence of that? What would you say?
Well, I think the truest essence actually comes from a quote from the Dalai Lama where, I used to ask him all these embarrassing questions. I'm embarrassed now, think of my questions back in my 40s. But I asked him, hey, well, what is it to be enlightened? Mm-hmm. And he was so patient with me, raw beginner. And he was so patient. And he would always answer me. And he said, well, that's where you recognize the true nature of reality. And whoa, that really goes deep. And I think the essence of our martial art and our spiritual training combined, there's a third element too, but those two combined, wow, I learn more about myself and then I can relate to my environment in a more appropriate way. So I think that's the real essence, is discovering, how do I move? How do I respond? And we have a series of four, two polarities this way that people can study and say, well, which one am I? Which one am I? And how can somebody trigger the opposite in me and get me to say and do things that are not in my best interest? And people do this all the time, not even in physical confrontation, just even in an office setting. There's some twisted folks out there, who think they have to beat somebody else in order to promote themselves.
Right.
And, or even in families, sad to say, there are some families that have these twisted dynamic where a child is excited and enthusiastic and they found their dream and this is the song they're going to sing and they're ready to go. And an older one, no, you can't make any money doing that. You'd look goofy. Nobody's going to,
I'm going to do what I have to do or what I'm supposed to do, not what my heart is guiding me to do.
Yeah. And that may come from love, the older one, I tried living my dream and it failed. So I'm not going to let you make that mistake. Anyway, so in families and social things, in offices, we have all these personal dynamics. And if we, I think I'm answering your question, what's the essence?
Mm-hmm.
How do I figure out what's really going on? What is motivating this person? Why are they doing this? Why are they saying that? And then I can respond in a way that hopefully soothes them and maybe even advances them a little bit. But I can't be going back and forth. I can't he said this, so I'll say this.
Right.
I have to be
above it. Yes.
I say be above the fray. Don't get involved in these little arguments. That's a trick. Be above it. What are these people really looking for? What do they really want? And if you can help them get it in a way that doesn't cost you, boom, everybody wins.
I'm thinking about frequencies because I'm listening to you and thinking about it from the perspective of frequency. Instead of being at that low frequency of, well, he said this, so I'm going to do that, and it's tit for tat, I'm going to raise my frequency and see how it looks from a different perspective to see what's going on. But that there's a piece in there, which is, how do I not just react? How do I find the way to respond so that I'm not automatically reacting from that fight or flight, from that amygdala part of the brain that wants to keep me safe and wants to just hit the other person verbally, if not physically.
Oh, no, that's the real essence of what I call true real world self-defense, personal development. So right now, it was very popular in the media is this, what they call MMA, where it's actually replaced boxing and pro wrestling now. Kids all watch it. And, these tough guys come out and trash talk each other and, all this kind of stuff. And some people could mistakenly believe that's martial arts. They use martial arts, but it's an entertainment form. It has nothing to do with you being out on the street. I'm having a beautiful day. I'm with the people I love. Everything is great. We had a wonderful lunch. Let's go over here. And all of a sudden you're confronted by somebody that is not on that frequency. They see you and somebody's hurt them when they were little and they don't even remember it, but they're just this angry, tough guy kind of stuff. And they see you and you're so happy. You're so intelligent. You're so beautiful. You're so wealthy. You got a great family. I want you to hurt as much as I hurt. That's what they're really saying. And, how do we deal with that in give it a shot, a verbal way, a posture way, even carefully using a little bit of humor in there. Maybe we don't need to fight. Maybe this guy goes away feeling a little bit better about himself if I know how to handle it. you know, that's a real victory.
Mm-hmm.
But it looks like MMA, you know, where people are pounding each other. And so it's very confusing for a lot of young folks and even older ones, too. You know, they say, well, you guys, you know, aren't very kick-ass. And I want to study with a kick-ass guy. And, we are so deadly that we don't even have to act deadly. We're protectors. We're not predators. You know, predators looking around.
Yeah.
No, 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 no. Everybody here is a little safer because we're here.
So is that part of it? Like that I develop myself in the way of understanding that I can be a protector rather than a predator?
I totally think so.
Or a victim.
Well, yeah, yeah. I think so. I think so. And there's a kind of a ninja philosophy called Kyojitsu Tenkan Ho. And Kyojitsu Tenkan Ho means you can deal with reality in any different direction.
Mm-hmm.
Somebody says something offensive to you. You don't have to say, well, that's offensive.
Mm-hmm.
You know, somebody says something offensive, I could laugh, you know, and say, oh, man, first time I heard that one today, you know, and hey, look, pal, I'm just out having a good time today. And I am so sorry I made you so angry at me. I totally screwed up. Please accept my apologies. I'm going to get in my truck, go my way. You go yours, and you have a beautiful day. What do you say, pal? You know, if I say something like that, it allows him a little room to save face. But also, did you notice like where that came? Body. I didn't say, hey, look, I don't want any trouble. No, that's why I'm picking on you, pal, because I don't want any trouble either. I want to administer a beating. I don't want to have a fight.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, that's what they don't say that.
But that's the recognition. Yeah.
But if I talk from way down here, hey, oh, man, you're the third guy today I've pissed off. I am so sorry. Well, that's kind of funny. You know, this guy, he's not afraid of me, but he's not like pushing back. There are very clever ways we can use our language and our posture, gestures, eye contact. And that's all part of our program.
Interesting. Interesting. So when you talk about the way of the ninja as a model for self-actualization, is this part of that?
Oh, I think so. I mean, don't you? Can you see how, in order to pull this off, I've got to be a lot cleaner about myself. I have to be clearer about myself. Mm-hmm. There are certain insults that somebody could throw, you know, call me Gramps or, you know, some age thing. I don't care about that at all. I mean, I've wanted to be old and wise ever since I was nine, you know, so I'm happy. It's not an insult to me, but there are people who, if you refer to their age or Gramps or granny or whatever, you know, they get angry. Doesn't affect me. There are certain things that people could say to me that, oh, that's still a button.
But you know what those are.
Well, I know what they are, and I have not gotten rid of those yet, because they're so deep-seated.
Mm-hmm.
Rid of those yet, but I've found ways of going around it in a way that this other person doesn't know that's a button. You know, because I mean, think about, you know, conflict on the street. Somebody's just going to throw stuff at you. They don't know you.
Mm-hmm.
No idea. So they're going to just make up stuff, you know. You have a cross on a chain. Oh, you think Jesus is going to come and help you out, buddy? You know?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, no, it's just a decoration I wear. You know what I mean? He's going to throw stuff out that he thinks, you know. You're a little overweight. Hey, fat boy, what are you doing? You know, or you're a little skinny. Hey, bones, what do you think? You know, they're just going to throw stuff out at you. And but this guy doesn't know me, you know, he doesn't know me. it really becomes funny when you see it, you know.
Like, yes, yes, yes.
When you see it, oh, God, man.
It strikes me that you could be a wonderful consultant and trainer for politicians. Because you see this kind of attack mentality coming through, and there's all kinds of people that are supporting, yeah, yeah, yeah. But it's like there's a way of shifting that, a way of turning that around. And I'd love to take that into a conversation around what I see so big in the world today, which is that sense of separation. You know, you're other. You're not me. You're not like me. And therefore, there's something wrong with you.
You know, I think what I'm going to say is a little controversial. But let's have some fun with it.
Absolutely.
Get people writing comments. Like this guy. Yeah. But that really is a key to a lot of our culture right now. This identity politics. Okay, you're for this, you're against that, you wear this, you look like this, you got this kind of skin color. Oh, you're my kind of person. Well, wait a minute. No, one of those is different. Oh, you know. I'm not going to accept anything from you, including friendship. And, you know, I'm a baby boomer. I remember the 60s. We thought we brought in civil rights. We passed laws and, hey, come on, people are people. This guy's a little darker. This gal is a little lighter, but we're just people. And it worked. I think it worked. I mean, you got way out on the edge, you know, wacko. You know, KKK people or wacko, you know, black leopard people or whatever, you know, I mean, but the majority of people, hey, we just have more people we can have fun with now. We're allowed to have fun with these people. So we thought we handled all that. Mm-hmm. We thought we handled all that. Hey, now what are our grandchildren going to be opening up? Because we already got the race thing handled. No.
Looks
no.
Like we don't, it, right.
No, it's gone backwards. It's gone backwards, you know, to where, and the media supports this and, you know, where all this identity, well, if you're a black person, you got to do this. You got to vote this way. You got to believe this. You got to see white people as oppressor. Oh, come on. Come on. That's just absolute antithesis of advancing civilization. You know, we're back to tribes. Mm-hmm. You know, I heard that in the ancient language that these tribes would use, I mean, very different languages,
mm-hmm.
but the reference to themselves in their tribe was the people. We are the people.
Right, right.
Mm-hmm. These others are not people. No, we're Tutsis. Those are Hutus. They're not people. People, look at this beautiful little child. Not a person, it's a Hutu, you know, or it's an Ojibwe, or it's a Osage, or what it, wow, or it's a Northern Irish as opposed to a Southern Irish, or it's a Catholic Irish. Oh, God, come on, really, really? That's where we're operating from? I think today we've really gone back to that. And anyway. You'll probably get a lot of comments on this.
That's
but
okay.
I think
so. What do we need to do? What's the other side of that?
Number one, recognize that the powerful media thrives on keeping us fighting. The media wants me when I wake up first thing in the morning, I grab this and see what's going on. Good news. Good news is nice. Bad news is important. And, you know, we can see, you know, just even in the conventional news bureaus, you know, here's everything that's wrong. And, you know, they leave out certain stories that don't match the narrative. And so number one is rise above this media push. And that is really hard to do. It's really hard to do because people are victim to it, you know.
As long as we allow ourselves.
Yeah. And we unconsciously allow ourselves. So that's number one. Okay. Number two is, man, first thing every day, when we wake up, beautiful day, think to myself, how can I help? How can I help?
Mm.
And so resist the media push, and how can I help? And I think those two things are a start,
mm-hmm.
as opposed to diving into media and believing everything you see and waking up every morning thinking, who's got it in for me today? Oh, God, yeah, those would be the opposite.
Okay, so instead of thinking who's got it in for me today, to flip that to, because it's so much more empowering to feel that sense of how can I help? You know, where is whatever I have to offer needed?
I feel that way. And that's kind of the basis of my whole adult life.
And that's why you're still doing what you're doing, right?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, very much so. Very much so. But I had to learn it. I was maybe different as a mm-hmm. child and as a teenager.
Mm-hmm.
I went away, as far away from my conventional life as possible without coming closer back, you know, and
uh-huh.
And all these crazy adventures. And they were not always easy. Not always easy.
Mm-hmm.
These lessons, in order to be really, you know, grab us, sometimes didn't like the lesson, did mm-hmm. not like the lesson, but I needed to learn it. And that formed me in my 20s and in my 30s. But I was constantly, I think probably when I was in my 30s, and there was no public, you know, social media. So that wasn't an issue. And to a large degree, the news reported the news, mm-hmm. and you had to make up your mind about it. Nowadays, everything I read is opinion piece.
Mm-hmm.
This doesn't work, but I don't want to read some knucklehead's opinion. Tell me what happened.
Mm-hmm.
Well, they're not going to do that because they don't sell as many. But probably instead of me waking up thinking, how can I help? When I was much, much younger, much, much younger, probably it was, what can I do to advance myself and be a little more the me I want to be?
Mm-hmm.
Every day. I was young.
Mm-hmm.
Well, mm-hmm. 40 years later, I've gone through all the lessons and, you know.
You think you've gone through all of lessons?
All that I've gone through. Now, there are more lessons, but I've gone through all the ones I have.
Okay.
You know? More
but
so.
Now, but now there's new ones that show up, aren't there? I mean, that's what I find. I think, well, you know, now I'm, you know, at this place in my life and I have a new grandson and, you know, I'm at this other end of things. And, oh, my God, there's so much more.
Isn't that exciting?
It is.
It's exciting.
Absolutely.
Yeah, but there are people who don't feel that way.
I know.
No,
I know.
I know what I know. And don't confuse me with the facts. I know what I know. Yeah, I mean, there are people that get up every morning and, you know, they put one more brick in that wall. Mm-hmm. You know, oh, gosh, how sad.
So you talked in something that I read of yours about, and this it, I very much resonated with this, the value of having a mind or having a being that is open to everything and attached to nothing.
Well, you know, it's, you know, my friends would scold me, so that's easy to say. Well, so yeah, it's easy to say.
It is easy to say, but okay, besides that.
You know, what do we mean by attached? You know, I've had long discussions with people. Well, you know, I'm attached to my child. I love my child. I'm caring about them. You know, I don't care about my child. No, no. Attachment means you regard some other thing or person or situation or condition. You consider that responsible for your survival in the world.
Ooh.
That's attachment, you know, where, oh, all of a sudden this goes over here. I'm in survival. No, you can love your children to death. You can love your friends. You can have a ball at your occupation. You can love your home, but that's not attached. So, I mean, I'm old. I have been so...
Be careful what you're saying.
Well, I intend to get a lot older too. but I think, you know, I've been so blessed. I mean, just so blessed. And I recognize it every day. You know, my home is my dream home. I'm married to my dream girl for, you know, 40 some years. And I'm still excited about my wife. And oh, my kids turned out great and they married well. And we have beautiful grandchildren. Each one of them is their own personality. Mm-hmm. I love that. I drive my dream cars. I only spend time with people I like.
Yes. Yes.
That's pretty neat. You know, yeah. So somebody doesn't like me and they're giving me a hard time and goodbye. I'm no longer here. And I can get away with it. Now, and I know there are people in their 20s that have to work in a corporation or a company, and you got office bullies and office tricksters and people
a boss that you don't like.
A boss, yeah, you don't mind. Oh, God. So I acknowledge that. No, maybe that's a thing of age. I've just slowly eliminated all those conditions. And when you're younger, no, you got to, but you can learn tricks. We can teach you tricks for how to put up with that miserable boss or that office bully or the office flirt. And you're in a relationship. There are ways of dealing with all of that. We can teach you. We can teach you. But anyway, my point is I'm so blessed and I am really open. I think my one challenge I have in my life is it sounds immodest to say this, but I'm so revered that a lot of the time people will tell me what they think I want to hear.
Mm-hmm.
Don't level with me. Mm-hmm. No. This is a ninja operation. It's intelligence gathering. You've got to tell me what's really going on. I'm not going to get mad. I'm not going to fire you as my friend, but people are scared. You know, well, he may not like to hear that. So we'll tell him what he wants to hear. And I think that's my one biggest challenge.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, they're polite ways to tell me things that I don't want
to
hear.
No, they don't have to be mean.
They don't have to be mean, but just, hey, this is 23, Stephen. Yeah. We see things different. When you first started out in 1980, that was three generations ago.
Mm-hmm.
There was my wife and me when we were young.
Mm-hmm.
We had children, and now we have grandchildren. That's three generations.
Right.
Things are different now. Oh, okay. Hey, what can you tell me that would make what I'm offering and what I'm trying to give to the world, what would make it more effective for 2023, you know? And no holds barred. I'm, you know, so, well, I think you should get like a long gray wig. And, you know, we'll give that a try, you know? Or don't wear, you know, funny Asian clothes, you know, wear a golf shirt. Well, we could give that a try, you know.
But that's the part about having that that mind or that being that is open to everything. Let's experiment. Let's see what is. So I may have seen, I may have believed something so strongly and I've held tight to it, but how is that holding me back now? How is that stopping me from seeing beyond it, seeing around the corner, because there's always an around the corner.
You know, I think there is. And oh gosh, we don't really have time to go into this here. So I'll just leave this little thing. There are certain things that we can look at and we can say, hey, I'm going to have an open mind. I'm going to look at that. But after we look at it, we say, no, that is not for me. That's not. Well, you're so open. I'm not so open that my brain falls out. you know, I have certain goals that I'm trying to move towards. And this open-minded, wild thing does not fit. In fact, it conflicts with that. Okay. Now, that's the challenge. How do I know what are my standards and values? Are they big enough that I can reject certain things that come in and fit? And how am I just so rigid and stubborn? You know, well, I hate pepper on eggs.
So it's discernment that you're talking about. Having the discernment to be able to see, does something line up with me? Or does it, no, it doesn't resonate. It hits in a way that my whole body, when I'm open to looking at it, goes, ugh.
Yeah.
Does that make sense?
Totally. And in fact, you'll get a kick out of this. The Kobo Daishi, this great saint of Japan in the 800s, brought back this esoteric Buddhist system from China. And there
and started public education.
Oh, and built bridges and supposedly designed a written form. I mean, this guy's fabulous. But there are five Buddha figures, which really, I mean, they're not people. They're like states, certain states. Five of these, and they represent five like personality flaws we have, and how we can convert those, don't eliminate them, but we convert those flaws into wisdoms. And one of the five wisdoms is discernment, exactly what you said. So powerful. Mm-hmm. Discernment. I look at a vast array of all the possibilities. And I can find exactly what I need. Mm-hmm. And okay, now we let these go. And now I find that it's in our martial art, it's associated with objectively watching what another person is doing. I already see it. You're tightening this muscle up here. I already see it. You're starting with your chest. You can't move without moving your chest. And so I see that I can move. Discrimination, discernment, it's all associated with this so-called fire element. And we can teach all of that. Is this an inner process or relating to physical combat? Yes. Is this learning something more about your enemy? Yes. Is this learning something more about you? Yes.
Yes. All of the above.
All the above.
So I'd love for you to take a few minutes to share a little of what you were beginning to tell me before we started about what you're moving into and what you're about to launch. It was very exciting to me.
Yeah, I think what I'm looking to do now is take all this martial art wisdom and esoteric, Tibetan, Japanese stuff and stripping away the Asian exoticness of that and just relating it to the actual human experience, just boom, straightforward language. So I'm going to start a series of seminars, and I have some very dear friends in Japan. They're not Japanese, they're Americans, but real good friends that deal with this kind of stuff as well. Not from a martial art perspective, but more of a spirit. Mm-hmm. So we're talking about creating a series of workshops, seminars. And I don't know, some of them we might start with Zoom. Mm-hmm. Ultimately, I think there's a great power in going somewhere and just taking a few days to get immersed in a certain energy. But
yes,
yeah, it's harder to sell today. Everybody wants to.
Oh, don't say that. I'm just creating a retreat in near Barcelona with this.
You are?
Yes.
You are?
Yeah, and for next April.
Want to come? Sounds great. Sign me up. Do you have people signed up yet?
We've just centered on the place, and it's about to go live.
God, we've got people interested. That is wonderful. Yeah.
Because there is something about gathering live in the energy of a place and in the energy of what wants to be taught and communicated.
Oh, yeah. And just the process of getting there. I have these Tibetan monk friends that live up on the Tibetan-Nepal border. you know, I've been to their monastery like maybe six times. And oh, gosh, you know, it's not easy to get to. Mm-hmm. But there is something about every step of the way. Let go of this step of that. You know, well, I'm tuned into my grandkids now. I kind of forget my grandkids. Mm-hmm. Yeah. My house needs, I kind of forget my house. Well, my wife, I kind of forget my wife. Just letting go of everything that means so much to me and just really concentrate on myself. Something in the, mm-hmm. anyway, so we may do something like that where, no, there's an actual physical get there, but we'll introduce it through some Zooms so yes, people see yes. what we're doing. Is this okay. valuable? Can I see how, no, it's worth it because it's going to be expensive.
Yeah. And it's going to mean take going away from, yeah. I told you about going to Mount Koya, to Koya-san in Japan. And this was 92.
Oh, okay.
My daughter was 2 years old. And yeah, I had to. And so I remember calling her from a phone booth. There she is at two. And she says, "Ohayo gozaimasu, mommy."
Watch that girl.
she speaks French or not French, Russian and Dutch. no Japanese.
No kidding. Wow. Interesting girl. Yeah. So I'm going to start some of these workbooks and I'm in the process of bringing, I have three books that are not physically how to fight, but mm-hmm. martial artists will want to get these books because it talks about the inner stuff and how to recognize what this person is doing. And I think I'm going to self-publish these. I've had publishers over the years, but that whole world is changing now. Mm-hmm. And I think, you know, the new wave is self-publishing. So I'm in the process of exploring. The books are written, mm-hmm. How to those out.
Are they a series? Are they something that will come out as a series? I mean, are they connected or related to each other?
Each one stands alone, but if you read this one, you can take those insights to read this one. And it relates a lot of the stuff that classically came from my ninja martial art mm-hmm. and my years with Dalai Lama and some Japanese teachers. But you don't have to culturally go there. Mm-hmm. It'll be very direct English, impactful stuff, not so much lecture as it is exercise. We set up an exercise, go through it. And a lot of these are like with, I call them talking meditations, mm-hmm. two people. Person explains something and the other just listens, you know, and then that person talks and then they compare notes and you know, then we can kind of step in and point out where they had some certain beliefs. Is that belief helping you? Or anyway, very, very personal. So I'm excited about starting that up like real soon.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Real soon. Well, you heard it here, folks.
You heard it here. Yeah. Yeah.
Well, that's wonderful. Thank you. Thank you, Stephen, for being such a great guest and sharing your wisdom and laughing. And and I really want to hear more about what you're creating right now and how that's going to unfold. Mm. Oh, and would you let people know how to, it'll be in the show notes, but will you let people know how to find out more about what you're doing and where you are?
Yeah, right now we're radically redoing certain internet things, but I do have an internet website that mm-hmm. people go to and, you know, a couple of books available and a little bit about what I'm doing, and that'll be beefed up as we move along. But it's just really simply Stephen K. Hayes, like a giant word, STEHENKHAYES .com, StephenKHayes.com. And, you know, they could check that as a first way. And there's a way to get in touch with me if they, you know, had some specific question that I might be able to answer, or they're interested in some of these programs. So StephenKHayes.com would be the website.
And if you, when you start to have something that is ready for people to be part of, make sure you let me know so that I can add this, that into the episode.
Wonderful. Wonderful. Great.
Thank you.
Well, great talking with you, Laurie.
Yeah, wonderful. Oh, thank you for being here at Wisdom Talk Radio.
Wonderful.
And thank you to our listeners, our viewers, for being with us today here at Wisdom Talk Radio. I always say, join us here regularly, because every time that there's that opportunity for more wisdom, discovery, and illumination, you can find us on your favorite place to listen to us. And please do leave a review. Because when you leave a review, if you've enjoyed listening, that tells other people, oh, this is worth listening to. And then we really grow our impact. And I don't mean just our impact of Wisdom Talk Radio, but what happens here at Wisdom Talk Radio and the messages and the teachings and the wisdom, you know, that gets to grow and expand. So for more about thriving with your own personal quantum connection, take the Quantum Connection Quiz today, and we'll see you next time.
Thanks for joining us here at Wisdom Talk Radio. We wish you well in your conscious explorations. For more information and to join in the conversation, our website is wisdomtalkradio.com or at Wisdom Talk Radio on Facebook.